Stay shroomed 24/7. Visit shroom.com for the best in shrooms. Stay shroomed 24/7.
Listen to Shroomed Podcast.
Visit shroom.com for the best in shrooms.
Hey, Shroomed fam. We're here with another episode of the Shroomed Podcast. This is going to be our episode 2, part of our Coast to Coast Mycology collaboration. So we've got Chad from Coast to Coast Mycology. How are you doing, Chad?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Andrew. Thanks for having me on again. How are you, brother?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Doing great. You know, we were supposed to be on last week, but I know you've been super busy. So the Shroomed fam will not hold any grudges against that. Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry. I promise you, we are going to be recording a couple episodes at a time moving forward so that we do not have a lapse in a week. We were just super slammed with work here. We got a lot of projects going on. So we're going to make sure that this does not happen again. So Andrew, thank you for your patience. I appreciate it.
No problem. Just had to give you some shit. I was getting an email saying, hey, when's the next episode? When's the next episode? I was like, we'll get it.
Yeah. Well, hey, and I mean, how many people did you say we had listened to that first one so far?
So I looked this morning, we had about 505 people.
Okay. Well, to all 505 of you, you know, thank you very much. I appreciate it. We're definitely hoping to get this, you know, I mean, I would love to get this to like 10,000 listeners an episode. You know, I feel like that would be really cool to have that large. I don't know why that number is the number that in my mind I want to get to, but that's kind of where, like, that's like goal one for me.
I like that number. I'll go with that. Let's get to 10,000. I think we can. I know we have definitely over 10,000 as a whole for Shroom, so I think we can definitely get one for one episode and continue that streak.
Absolutely. So actually, being that we're, you know, talking about this, right, before we kind of go into what we want to talk about, I figured I'll get this in right in the beginning so that we can kind of just get everybody who is listening, at least we can kind of guarantee that they hear this part of it. One of the things that Andrew and I most certainly want to do is we want to start bringing additional guests onto the show. We want to start hearing people's experiences, hearing their transformations, how psychedelics or plant-based medicines have played a role in their life and how they've, you know, allowed them to do a complete 180 from where they may have been at prior to the introduction of psychedelics into their life. Andrew, what's the best way for somebody to reach out to you if they wanted to schedule a time with us on the show?
So we just created a new email. It's going to be shroomedpod@gmail.com. So that's going to go to both Chad and I. So we're both going to be able to see that. So we'd super love to know if you're interested in coming on the podcast. You know, we definitely want to hear firsthand stories.
Awesome. I'm definitely excited when we get to that. You know, maybe for our next episode, why don't we do that? Why don't we have our next episode be the first guest episode? Are you down for that?
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I think we did definitely, I think it's ready. And I just want to remind everyone, shroomed, shroomedpod@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And while we're plugging some other things, also make sure to go check out shroomed.com as well for any of your mycology needs. Andrew also put up recently an absolutely beautiful microdosing guide that really kind of just talks about the different ways that you can dose and how to bring them into your life. I highly recommend that if you haven't seen it, you go check that out. And for those of you who are looking for either all-in-one grow kits or for genetics, feel free to visit advancedmyco.com, and that's M-Y-C-O. Or for your genetics, feel free to visit C2CMyco.com. And that's it for our shameless plugs today.
Hey, you gotta do it, right?
You gotta do it. We are also accepting paid sponsorships, just to be clear.
Let's go. And yeah, and speaking of that, I mean, this last episode got 50,000 listens. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh.
Should change the numbers to that.
Yeah. 50,000 listens. So you're getting a lot. We're only charging $5 million per sponsorship. It's totally affordable and totally done. Oh God, we're just kidding. But if it is something that, you know, if you happen to listen to this and you do want us to plug your brand in here, definitely reach out to us and we'll figure something out with you.
Definitely. We are growing for sure. And that's what's funny. I love watching like the first episodes of like Joe Rogan and stuff. Did you know his first episodes were sponsored by, what is the pocket pussy thing? So he had those sponsorships. What's it called?
I don't even know. I just thought it was a pocket pussy. That's what I thought they were called. No.
Yeah. So it's so funny, man. It's hilarious.
God, you know, I totally feel like now we're gonna get hit ups for some like female lubrication product that's gonna be like, hey, can you sponsor us? And we're gonna look back on this in like 6 months and be like, wow. Wow, I don't know if that was a high point or a low point for us, but it definitely wasn't what we were expecting.
Oh man, cool. So, what's going on, Chad? What's going on new in the mushroom science world?
Oh man, what's going on in the science world? I mean, there's always progress being made in so many different things, and I think that a lot of the information is kind of being either withheld or not fully shared at this point, but I'd like to kind of start talking today about something that I saw this week, and I know you saw it as well. I guess somewhere there was somebody was arrested for selling a cannabis and mushroom vape product. And so, you know, we all know what the little carts are, the cartridges. And I've been seeing a lot of people lately that have been advertising psilocybin vape cartridges. And
I had a friend text me too and say, hey, are these legit? And I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah. So, well, and it, you know, and it kind of just, it, this is right. You know, you and I sort of spoke on this. We spoke on this last week, or 2 weeks ago when we had done our first episode. You know, there's, with how much excitement this industry and this space is gaining right now, you know, we're seeing a lot of new products come out. We're seeing a lot of new brands come out. And it's a little concerning, being that, you know, a lot of this stuff isn't being tested. I think a lot of this stuff is being either manufactured or made in people's basements or in their house. And not that that's necessarily the worst thing in the world. It's just, I know that from, you know, a manufacturing standpoint, you're going to have the people who are going to want to make the most beautiful, the most well-crafted, most well-thought-out, you know, product that they can possibly put out. And then you're going to have people who are going to be looking to source everything for as humanly cheap as possible and just put whatever together they can at the lowest price point possible. And I think that as that continues to happen, you know, we're going to see a lot of brands come and go here. But I hope that, you know, for those of you who are getting into this space and looking, you know, looking at all the different products, you know, just be careful, I guess. You know, a lot of the products are not what they say they are. A lot of them are not even using real mushrooms. A lot of them are using, a synthetic hallucinogen instead.
Tell us why. So I'm sorry to interrupt. Tell us why you can't smoke psilocybin though. Like,
So and that's where we'll kind of get started, right? With like on the psilocybin thing. So, Andrew, have you ever heard of Lemon Tech?
Yeah, I'd have.
You have, right? So, Lemon Tech is when you would take your ground up mushrooms and you would take lemon juice and you would mix the mushrooms with the lemon juice, and you kind of like to stir it around for like 10, 15 minutes. And what that is doing is the acidity in the lemon juice is beginning the conversion process of psilocybin to psilocin. And that's what actually is making us trip. The psilocybin being converted is what is resulting in us tripping. And so when I see these little cute mushroom products that are vapes, that are psilocybin extracts that are then put into like a vegetable glycerol or something of that nature, right? And they're putting that, they're claiming that they're going to get people, I guess, not even high, like, you know, but they're gonna make people trip. And the reality of it is no, it's not. there is, when you're inhaling directly into your lungs, you are just basically putting that directly into your bloodstream. There is no filtration system there. It's just like, you know, just like smoking cannabis. It's like, you know, that first hit. And for a lot of people, they take that first hit and then they already begin to feel something because you're already getting it into your bloodstreams, your bloodstream, you're already getting it right to your receptors. And with psilocybin, it simply just doesn't work that way. And so, you know, this is just one thing that I'm a little worried about, because what I am concerned with is that people are going to start making psilocybin mushroom pens and they're advertising them as such. And what they really are is just, it's just a synthetic DMT that is being put into these, and it's completely different. And not that there's anything wrong with DMT. It's just, if you care about the experience, if you care about what you're going for, you know, you want to know that what you're consuming is what you expect it to be. Acid is completely different, is a completely different experience than mushrooms. Ayahuasca is a completely different experience than mushrooms. DMT, 5-MeO DMT, completely different experience. Peyote, completely different experience. I consider cannabis to be a psychedelic. Cannabis, completely different experience. I think that a lot of the education and just product awareness is just going to continue to, like, you know, build a role. I'm also concerned that not everybody's really going to care at the end of the day, but I'm hoping I'm wrong. What have you been seeing on this end? I mean, I know, you know, you and I live on opposite ends of the country. I'd be curious to hear about, like, what you've been seeing and
I've been happily to see, like, a lot of people here, like, know that like, you shouldn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people that I talk to, like, I think, hopefully that's an isolated situation where someone's just trying something out. But I hope the more people know that, you know, if they see that in something that, you know, psilocybin in a cartridge, that they just know it's wrong. But I think a lot of here, we're just seeing a lot of different, like, chocolate bar companies be popping up. A lot of gummy companies in the Bay Area. I mean, there's probably over like 50 gummy companies in the Bay right now. But it's unregulated. So you really don't know where they're coming from, who they're getting it from, and things like that. So it's there's not really anywhere you can go right now to say, hey, this is trusted. I mean, even Polkadot or anything, you don't know if those are real or not. I think you're starting to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, so the Polkadot team was originally comprised of two people and like two owners. And I know that team split up, but they both still technically operate under the Polkadot brand. I've also seen tons of fake Polkadots running throughout, the East Coast. And it's, you know, and again, it's just sort of like, it's just diminishing the user experience. It's diminishing the trust. And I just wish that there was, a little bit more clarity and trust, for everybody new getting into this. You know, a lot of people are not getting into psychedelics to get high. They're getting into psychedelics because they feel like they need to change. Right. And so, you know, for some people, you know, I know a couple of people, as a matter of fact, who do not like, they don't like the taste of mushrooms. And right. So for them, these types of products, these are like, you know, the only option for them. And it's just, you know, it's frustrating if you fit into that category of people, and if you're not able to then go ahead and get what you're looking for, what you want, it's, you know, it's challenging.
And we're relying on like your local smoke shop right now, because there's nowhere else really, you know, someone can get it unless they're getting off of the black markets. And then, so now we're seeing a lot of smoke shops here, like in my city and other cities, that are just, they're getting what people go there and sell them. So who knows what they're selling them? You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. It's like, who knows? You know, I'm just going to give a shout out to a brand that I recently ran into, who I think makes a beautiful product. I don't even know if they'll ever even hear this. But there's a brand called Nootropics that is making some of what I feel are the most beautiful chocolate bars that exist. So if you ever run into those, they're 6-gram chocolate bars. I highly recommend picking one up. They are beautiful, and they are very well done, and they are made with real mushrooms, and they are made with love. And there's no affiliation here. I'm not getting paid to say that. it's just truly a product that, you know, just one of the brands that I fully stand behind. But like you said, you know, there's like, you know, there's 50 to 100 new brands with 50 to 100 popping up every 3 to 6 months as well. So,
I love the Nootropics guys too. I met them at Meatdelic a couple years ago, and they used to have the regular 3-gram bars. And now when I seen the 6-gram bars, I was like, holy shit. Like, I didn't know they had that now.
Yeah. Oh, so you know them too.
Oh yeah. No, we're super cool, man.
Yes. Actually, it's beautiful product. Too.
Yeah. And then when I first met them, they only had a few different, like maybe one or two flavors. And then now that I see their catalog, it's like, holy shit, they're just killing the game.
Yeah. What they have like 12 or 13 flavors.
Yeah. I think 12 or 13 flavors. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super cool. Super cool. But anyways, so hey, total random plug there.
Oh yeah. That's funny. No, but they were, I was actually having at Champs. They came by at Champs, and they gave me bars, and everyone that I gave them, they loved them.
Yeah, that super, super, super good group of guys there.
And there's that are just, as long as you look into them and just know they're reliable. I mean, you kind of just got to do your own research too when you're buying stuff. So.
Well said. Well said. You definitely do.
What, so what else has been new, man? What have you been dabbing on lately?
Oh, what have I been dabbing? You know, you ready for this? Are you ready for this? I've been so busy. I also didn't really feel good for a couple days. And I have barely been smoking or dabbing at all lately. It's been like, maybe towards like the end of the night, I'm taking like one dab. But outside of that though, no, I'm not, I really haven't been dabbing.
Do you feel a little, like a different high when, cause I've talked to people where they've had psychedelic experiences while dabbing. So have you ever had something like that? Or like when you take a break and then dab, like just feel like, oh wow, this is more intense than it was.
You know, I feel like my tolerance is so high that I have not had that yet, because I mean, don't get me wrong, I did unintentionally take a couple of days off, and I had thought in my head that I was gonna, you know, to go take a little dab out of my proxy, and it was gonna wreck me, but it was relatively calm. I know, like last night.
It's probably that New York rosin. That's why. Come on, you need that Cali rosin, man.
No, what do you mean? I stay dabbing on Cali rosin. I was just gonna tell you, last night I was dabbing on some Professor Sift honey bananas, and this morning I dabbed on some acai mints from is it West Coast Alchemy? Or is it Trilogy? West Coast Alchemy. So I'm on that Cali grind. I know that good.
okay. Just have to test you there.
Yep. No, I've I know my buddy is going to be coming today and stopping by, and he's bringing me some Mission Hill Melts, which is a company up in Maine. They do a really nice job with their rosin. Yeah, and
it just he's bringing me cool.
Yeah, it's a cool name, right? Mission Hill Melts. Yeah. What about you? What have you been dabbing on?
I had some rosin that I got, that LA LA Kush? Mm-hmm. LA something. But we just got it from a friend. And then I recently, actually, a funny story, I recently went to the dispensary. I don't want to plug this brand because I hate them. But it's a company in Santa Cruz. And so when I was in the industry, we had some diamonds, and we had some stuff that we were supposed to be, like it was one of our orders. And the manufacturer got shut down for their own reasons. And these guys ended up being the ones that held all our stuff. So I was like, I bet you this is our stuff. So I just bought it, and I was looking at it, and I was like, dude, this is definitely our stuff. So it smells just like it. But I was like, man, dude, we had some good stuff.
Have you ever had Fresh Squeeze?
I feel like I've seen the logo, but no, I don't think I have.
No, you know, they are, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that Fresh Squeeze is a sub brand of Trilogy 710. And call me crazy because it's technically supposed to be a lower tier than the Trilogy stuff, but I prefer the fresh squeeze rosin over Trilogy and West Coast Alchemy. As a matter of fact, me and my buddy AJ were actually having this conversation earlier this morning. we were talking about a couple of different types of rosin, and I was just saying to him, like, I don't know what it is, but lately I've just been preferring my Fresh Squeeze over anything else lately. They had this sour kombucha, Andrew. This was it was so good.
Well, and that's what I think, like, the terpenes start to, that's where you start to get with more of what the terpenes, right? Like, and because you can get all the best weed that you want and get the rosin out of it, but each one's going to make you feel different, right?
Yes. Totally. I'm such a, it's not even a believer. I personally feel like there's not even a debate here. You know, how you can have one strain of flower that's testing at like 27.8% THC, and then another one that's testing at 27.8% THC. And then when you press them, right, it's technically the same exact percentage, yet they're giving you completely different effects. And like the major, you know, and that major difference, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's obviously going to be other cannabinoids in there besides just Delta-9 THC, but like, I feel the terpene profile is what is, you know, like I'm at this point where I feel like I can smell the rosin and I have a good idea of what type of effect to expect from it, simply because I know the terpene profile that I prefer. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't have
sommelier for weed.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know. I love weed.
No, I feel it, man. I love just smelling it. I love to smell all the terpenes. Like, I can always tell when there's some. I don't know. What's the terpene for, like, Carrera? I forgot that.
For what?
For Jack?
For limonene?
Limonene? Yeah. Because you can always tell, like, that's one that stands out all the time.
No, oh, yeah, it's also one of the more common ones, if I'm not mistaken, in the cannabis plant. But I don't even know. You know, speaking of, since we're, I'm actually not sure how we migrated so much into cannabis already. But when I was out in Vegas, I went to, I had an hour and a half, after one of the shows. And so I went to 888 Collectibles, which is a Pokemon and trading card store. And yes, for everybody who's wondering, I'm a Pokemon nerd. I have been into Pokemon since 1998, and it's never left my heart. But after that, I I got in the, I had the Uber driver take me to, I was like, oh, can you just take me to a dispensary? And so he took me to a cookies dispensary. And, you know, I gotta be honest, I was very underwhelmed with what they had in stock, with their selection, with even just the overall look of the store. I was really surprised. I just felt like for a brand that is that well known, I expected their store to really like wow me. And I mean, I've been to stores up in Massachusetts by me that were 50 times nicer than that store. And this was the cookies in the heart of Vegas. So it was just kind of weird. It was a weird moment for me. I really expected more.
I think I remember what that one looks like. You go in and it's just like, really, it just has like a small selection. And then the workers are right there, right behind the counter.
Yep. Yeah. And it was just like, and that was it. Like they had a couple things on display and I just felt like it was a relatively small selection. Even, you know, like I went there looking for rosin and they had like four options for me to pick from. And I kind of was just like, this is all you got for me. And so I ended up grabbing two Stizzy half grams of, one was of tropical banana and, and you know, actually, no, they were surprisingly affordable. But they also weren't very good. I definitely was not wowed or blown away by either of the ones that I got. But that's all right. If anybody knows where the spot in Vegas is, being that we have so many conferences out there, you know, feel free to drop us a line and fill
us in. You haven't been to Planet 15 yet?
That's Meow Wolf, right?
No, Planet 15. It's like the biggest dispensary. It's like the huge one. Or Planet 13. Planet 13.
Oh, no. I have not been there.
Dude, it's huge. Yeah, they got like a restaurant in there and stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, next time we go, then let's go. Speaking of, have you done Meow Wolf?
Oh, dude, I love that place. Like we went, so that's where the first Meatdelic was in 2021. And then, but we had been there before. I took my wife. We went to that Omega Mart, but we were only in there for like a couple hours. And I feel like you need to be in there like all day. Like, I feel like it's just so big in that thing. Cause we didn't see the cool stuff. Like we left and heard people like, oh, there was a speakeasy and there was all this cool stuff like in the area. Did you find any of that stuff?
No.
Oh yeah. See, but did you talk to the workers and like do the I guess there's like a whole dialogue and stuff. If you talk to the workers there.
We did some of like the entry things where like you get your little code and you scan it. And we started doing it, but we didn't like really have that much time because, you know, like we went like later at night. I Heather and I were talking about this, right? And I was just like, man, I would love to just come here on like 2 grams of mushrooms, like the moment that it opens and just try and figure out all of the Easter eggs at once.
Yeah, exactly.
I just felt like that would have been super cool. And I will just say, so I've now been to the Vegas Meow Wolf and I've now been to the Denver Meow Wolf. And for as cool as it is in Vegas, the one in Denver blows it away.
You think so? I went to Denver. I've seen the Denver one. It was cool, but it reminded me of when you go inside of the Omega Mart and stuff. Did you go into Omega Mart?
You have to get into the grocery store
and stuff, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to go. Yeah, you have to do that. Like I think that's kind of like the part, don't get me wrong, like right, the one in Vegas has like that whole mall area where the one in Denver doesn't. But yeah, I think I just
didn't do Denver right, honestly, because that one was, I got lost in there too. Because we just went for a little bit, like I went before my flight. And no, it was huge. It was pretty cool, though, the different rooms in there.
Yeah, I felt, you know what? It was a lot more steampunky / fantasy. I feel like that's like the best way for me to put it. Yeah. I felt like it was a little more Yeah, like more like fantasy vibe. But they're both really, really fun, unique experiences. I mean, and I can definitely say, you know, like, listen, right? Malls are a dying breed in this country, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe one of the ways to bring malls back is to do exactly what they did in Vegas and just make a psychedelic mall.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, dude, because it's like, because then people could just walk around and just look at stuff, because I think that's that's all we do when we're in Area 15. We just go around, look at all the art, and then you can go get a drink at the bar and stuff, but it's like there's stuff all around you, man. Then the people who come in are just, you know, it's just everyone's having a good time, like there's all good vibes. And then now they have the outside stuff that you can do. I think they have like cornhole, and then they have that other, it's actually like a new theater, I think, they made on the outside of it too. So they've got a lot there that they can do.
I didn't even know that that was a thing.
Yeah, they had Nightmare Before Christmas there, like a Tim Burton thing. We didn't go to it, but we wanted to. And it's like it's kind of like an IMAX style thing.
Oh, that's cool. I had no idea. All right, yo, you know what? Listen, let's be totally unshroomed right now. Give me your top five movies of all time and top five TV shows of all time, and not in any specific order. It doesn't need to be a 1 through 5, like in order. Just, I'd love to hear what your top fives are.
Oh man, all my movies are just comedy and like just dumb. I mean, one of my first movies is The Sandlot. Like Happy Gilmore, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
TV shows. Like, I'm a Simpsons fan, so I've watched that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
We like reality, so we watch that Big Brother. You ever watch that?
Big Brother. Is that the one where...
Survivor, like, all the time.
Is it in a house, Big Brother?
Yeah, it's in the house.
Yeah. I think I've seen it way... Right, that's an old one, right? Like, that show's been around forever, right?
Okay. Yeah, I've been watching that since a kid. Like, why would we say that I want to go on that show? I'd kill it, I think.
Oh, my God. Dude, do it. Have you ever applied for it?
No. I always, like, get to the point where, like, I'm going to go do it, and I'm just like, nah. Because then it's like, you almost have to quit your job, dude. It's like, what do you do for 3 months? Like what do these people do? They just don't have a job. They're going to go back to, you know?
Probably.
Yeah, but what else do I like? I'm a South Park fan.
Yeah, South Park is in my top five of
I can't
TV
think
shows.
Of any movies though. You put me on the spot, because I do like, oh, Catch Me If You Can is one of my favorite movies
with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, dude, I just love that, because that dude just
it's a great movie. He's such a great actor, by the way.
Did you hear about that kid who just got arrested again? He was pretending to be a doctor.
No.
He got arrested once in Florida. Yeah, let me read. Hold on. He pretended to be a doctor in Florida, and he got busted. 1 second.
What?
Yeah, 1 second. So this kid, Malachi Love Robinson, this is when he got arrested the first time. So he gets arrested for pretending to be a doctor. He posted bail, walked out. Let's see here. Yeah, this guy was he described as a well-rounded professional. And he was like seeing patients and stuff. And then he just got arrested again recently. That's funny, man. But it reminded me of that Catch Me If You Can.
That's kind of funny. Wasn't there that isn't there like that woman that did that just like went around and said that she was like some like diplomat or something from like some other country and had tons of people give her a ton of money, and like she got arrested for fraud, obviously. But is this ringing a bell, what I'm saying to you right now? Like, does this sound like something you've heard?
I honestly think that's happened like multiple times, because there's a Netflix story about one girl who did that. She was a younger kid though. Kind of like, it was almost like the Firefest people doing that. So
that's cool.
What we got to talk about shrooms again, dude. What We gotta get back to shroom topic.
Yeah. We kind of sidetracked here. Why don't we talk about your maybe one of your most prolific experiences on mushrooms, or you know what? Why don't we talk about how we incorporate them into our lives and like some suggestions and recommendations maybe that both of us have for you know what they can do to like you know how other people can start incorporating them into their lives. Do you have any suggestions? Like what do you do currently?
Yeah, no, I think that's huge because there's a lot of people who are like curious right now and like are hearing shrooms, they're talking about it, but just don't know how to enter. So for me, I take a functional mushroom at least like 3 to 5 times a day, or 5 times a week, my bad. And that's usually like lion's mane, turkey tail. I usually use tinctures. And I actually give my dogs that regimen too. I give them some powder on their food. And then with psilocybin, I usually microdose probably honestly 5 days a week. I usually take mushrooms a lot. But for me, it's a focus thing, man. I really get to focus. I drink it in the morning or take it in the morning with my tea or coffee. And I feel like I really get shit done for the next, 8 hours. I feel like I'm just super focused. I'm getting shit done and more shit that I would have been able to get done. And I feel like more creatively and more I start thinking more effectively, it's kind of weird. And I tell people that I feel more conscious when I take them. I start thinking, oh, why am I going to put that in my body? I start thinking of other things, without even knowing it. So I usually do the microdose, and I do really light, I do 0.165 to 0.300. But if we go out for a social event, I'll take 0.500 to a gram, or maybe a little bit more, just depending on what it is. But also to my friend, he's saying it's hard for him going, he gets in his head. But for me, more, I go there and I just it helps me enjoy the concert better, the outing better or whatever. I just feel because normally I would go and not talk to anyone probably because I'm an introvert. But when I just microdose and go out, it's crazy. And I just got a text from someone that I helped get some microdoses, and she said that her husband has crippling anxiety, social anxiety. And by taking only 0.165, he's been able to go out and be more socially active, and just he feels like there's all his worries are gone. You know what I mean? When he goes out for that time. So it's crazy.
It's so beautiful, just how much it alters you. And I think what you said about, how it gives you that 8 hours of just, hyper focus. I think that's one of the most beautiful things about it, right? I personally, when I was 15 and 16, I'm very hyperactive. I definitely struggle to kind of sit still or be still, I'm a nail biter. I have all these little things that I do. Although I'm proud to say right now, I have not bit my nails in 5 days and I've been actively working on it.
Yeah. And so you got some good ones though. I bet you use it. As a nail biter, you're just man, these are some good ones.
I'm looking at him right now. I'm like, oh, hello, gorgeous. I think that for me, me personally, that's really been one of the biggest values that I've got that I get from microdosing. And don't get me wrong, I'm still hyperactive. I'm still energetic, if you will. But these allow me to focus on what I need to get done. And, Andrew, you and I are both very busy people, right? And we both have a lot of projects going on right now. And so I have this funny feeling that neither you or I would be nearly as capable as we are if it wasn't for microdosing.
Let's say that people like wanting to go to work and just being happy at work, you know what I mean? I feel like this can help people be happy at work. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. And like, yeah, like it makes the world not suck so much in a way, you know, and not that the world sucks. I don't want to be negative here, because there's plenty of things and people and outlets that will remind you how much the world sucks. And I try to be glass half full with anything that I can. And, you know, I think that the world is a beautiful place, but like, it just makes life more livable. You know, it makes you realizing that all of those external factors that are bringing you down, or slowing you down or impeding, upon your excess, on your success, you know, that it removes those chains. It makes them feel less important. It makes them feel less necessary or crucial or crucifying to what you're trying to do. I really think that's like, you know, the beauty of it. You know, like it's kind of funny because, like, you know, like when you go to, like, for example, like with traditional medicine, right? Like, let's say you go to your doctor and your doctor is gonna prescribe you Xanax, right? Let's just use America's number one prescribed drug that the withdrawals can kill you from. That I think that they, right, a Xanax bar, if I'm not mistaken, is 2 milligrams, and that bar is split into fours of a half of a milligram, if I'm not mistaken. And I could be wrong here, so if anybody's listening to this and I'm wrong, I'm sorry. Please don't kill me for this. I have not put a pill inside my body in like 7 or 8 years. I think that like, you know, they would start you off at like either a quarter of a milligram or a half of a milligram, and then, you know, and then they progressively up your dose. And I think with mushrooms, it's not that simple. I've had people who have taken, I've seen take high doses of mushrooms and they're like still fully functional. I think that it's like on a case by case basis. I think that also the level of self-awareness that the user has of themselves also plays a large role into it. You know, like a good example this past week and a half or so, that somebody, a very, very, very successful, very, very intelligent person is really been getting into microdosing. And we've been talking about how, you know, he's like a little worried about, you know, there's like a dependency, or, you know, what if he wants to start taking them once or twice a day? And my response to him was, you know, I think when people are entering that microdosing journey, when they're trying to self-medicate, when they're figuring it out, I think that part of that journey is figuring out what works for them. And, you know, I know some people that microdose 1/10 of a gram. I know some people that microdose a half of a gram. And even though I don't really consider a half of a gram a micro, but you know, I think that, and he was like, well, should I take it every day, or should I take it on some regimen, like, you know, the Stamets stack, or should I follow, like, you know, my personal protocol is Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. And then on either Friday night or Saturday night, I'll eat like anywhere between, you know, 1 to 1.5 grams, and just to kind of like relax and do some minor reflection. And I think that that's kind of one of the things that, like, one of the topics, I should say, you know, that like I try and bring up with people, and, you know, like that, like that's what has worked for me. But because that's worked for me, it doesn't mean that that will work for you. You know, right? Like, you know, look at, right, Andrew, you have a completely different microdose. You know, you said you microdose 5 times a week, right? You know, you, right? You and I have different microdosing regimens, and that doesn't mean that I'm right, and it doesn't mean that you're right. It means that I'm doing what I think is right for me, and you're doing what you think is right for you. And when you're dealing with a substance that truly has almost no addictive properties or known side effects, I think that that's really like what is key. You know, it's just kind of figuring out what makes sense for you. And at first, it might mean that you're microdosing every single day. But the mushrooms, they kind of, over time, they sort of tell you what's going to work for you, you know?
100%, man. I always get this question too, like, because some people want to trip or they want to have like a visual experience. Mm-hmm. And they're always asking me like, oh, you know, how much should I take? And then they're always upset or something, you know, when they don't have these effects or they don't. And I've talked to my brother, and my brother's, he's taking DMT, and where I'm like having all these visual effects, like I'm seeing shit, like, you know, I'm having this great experience, and he's just kind of more like relaxed, more just sitting back. And he's like, no, I never have visuals. Is that something in someone's chemistry, or what is that?
Yeah. I mean, so here's the thing, right? First and foremost, people who take SSRIs are already going to have everything significantly reduced. I also find that when you drink alcohol, it reduces the effects of them as well. I mean, it makes you a little more like sloppy, you know what I'm saying? But when it comes to visuals, I feel like it takes away from it. I personally, when I'm going to eat anything over 2 grams, I'll fast for at least 18 hours before I consume them. And then as soon as I'm like ready to consume, I eat them. And as soon as I'm done with that, I'll drink 20 ounces of water. And then I'll wait about 15, 20 minutes just for like, it kind of just, you know, my digestive system to wake up a little bit and for them to kind of like kick them, you know, get that process going of my body, start my stomach, my gut starting to break apart the cellular tissues of the mushroom. And then as soon as I'm done with that, I feed my face with fruits and vegetables and leafy greens. I love grapes. I love eating spinach and kale and arugula when I'm on it, tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers. God, I remember one day my wife just like looked at me and she's like, what are you doing? And I just looked at her and I go, I'm eating peppers. And she goes, you're just sitting in front of the fridge on the ground, just eating a pepper as if it's like an apple. And I just looked at her and I go, you're right. And as a matter of fact, this is my fifth pepper that I'm now eating this way. You know, I think that's one of the ways that you can kind of do it. I also think that everybody is different. I mean, even with cannabis, you know, a lot of people say, like, they say that as like they continue to smoke, you know, like their tolerance is crazy and like they don't get high. You know, I mean, I've been smoking weed since I was like 16 years old and I still definitely get stoned. I think it's just more of the way that people's minds are too. You know, I think that some people try and fight it. I know that when I smoke or that when I eat mushrooms or whatever it is, I don't try and fight anything. I just let what is be, you know. I just sort of embrace the road that I'm about to go down. I'm normally prepared for it. I'm always prepared for it. I think you and I have spoken about, you know, every 3 months I like to take like an intentional journey where I'll go and I'll reflect, like I'll journal beforehand and I'll set my mood. I have my frequencies that I play. I'll have lavender essential oils going and incense. I love lavender. It's so calming. I'll kind of just get myself in a place where I'm ready to be in a good place. But I know like for me, you know, the visuals, they always just hit me quick and they hit me hard. I definitely, whenever I trip with other people, I am always 15 minutes ahead of people. And I don't know if I also think that being a plant-based eater plays a role in that. But I also think it's just because I prepare myself so much for it. You know, it's sort of just like, you know, a lot of people, they'll eat mushrooms, not like in the beginning of the day. They'll do it after they've consumed dinner and dessert and, you know, and so your stomach is already full. And your digestive system is sort of not shutting down, but it's not like kicking itself into overdrive. And I think that, and that's why I think fasting can play such a huge role. So when people are looking to get those visuals, I think that's the best suggestion that I can give to anybody is, if you're taking SSRIs, just know that you might struggle more than most people to get visuals. And if you're not taking SSRIs, I would definitely suggest fasting and then technically breaking your fast with the mushrooms and then just a whole bunch of fruit and vegetables, just giving, you know, just giving your body the fruits of life, if you will. That's my suggestion there for anybody.
Yeah, I love it, man. Yeah, no, I think it, another thing, mushrooms, they just bring you back to your real self. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people need that. But cool, man. I think if you're cool with it, I think this has been a great episode.
Yeah, absolutely. We can definitely. Yeah, we'll end it there. Andrew, I just want to thank you again for having me on. Like I said, next week, let's have our first. We'll have our first guest on next week. Maybe we'll bring Heather or Cam on for next week. And we'll start there. But if anybody is looking to come on live with us, it's shroomedpod@gmail.com. And if you guys have any questions, you can reach us out there. We're going to have a couple of things coming up in the next couple of months that we're really excited to be doing. Two our friends, Cam and Bernadette, are going to be doing a podcast called The Art of Substance. And they're going to be just talking about just all substances and substance use and, you know, proper ways. And I know we're going to be doing some collaboration with them. I'm really excited for that. And we are going to have an overlay soon. We are going to have video soon. Andrew, I'm sorry that I have not gotten that done yet. I promise you I will.
Okay. You did say you didn't have your makeup on this morning, so we're okay.
I'm really excited for the future. Lastly, if we can end it, can you just tell everybody about the show that you're going to be doing?
Thank you for reminding me. So I'll be at South by Southwest. I know it's going on right now, but Shroomed, I'll be there with my wife and one of my friends. Will be there March 17th through the 21st, March 18th at the Austinite Cannabis Company. We have a pretty awesome comedy show. We're going to have Hans Kim. He'll be our headliner. And who knows, maybe Shroomed will be doing his debut of comedy that night. So you guys make sure you guys come out, show some love. It's going to be a pretty fun night of comedy and mushrooms.
Awesome. I'm so sad I'm not going to be able to be there. I just want you to know that. If you can please make sure that your wife records that so that I can watch it. I totally want to see it.
We'll definitely get someone recording that for sure. What about you, man? Where are you going to be at next?
So I do have a smoke shop event, SSE. It's literally what it's called. And I'll be there next week. You can catch me down in Tampa Bay. I will be there April 1st and 2nd. You can catch me at Yerb Labs in Plant City, Florida on Saturday, March 1st. And you can Saturday, April 1st. And you can catch me at Chillum, Mushroom and Hemp Dispensary on April 2nd. Then we'll be at Champs Atlantic City in May. Oh, and you know what? I'm also going to be, since we're talking about this right now, I will also be at the National Cannabis Festival in Washington, D.C. on April 22nd. I am going to be sitting on a panel called Science Meets Psychedelics. And we'll also, our product will be there. Oakland Hyphy will be there as well. Shout out Reggie and Ian. You can catch our team over there as well. And there might be another thing or two in between, but that's actually a decent amount for like just the next 2 months. So
definitely, man. When's the one in Washington, D.C.?
April 22nd.
Nice. That one, I might have to take another trip out there.
Yeah, that's a cannabis event. That's a National Cannabis Fest. So there's gonna be like 20,000 people or something there. It's a pretty big event, apparently.
Nice. That might be fun.
Yeah. So I'm like,
you got a lot of stuff going on. That's awesome, man. I plan on going to a couple of shows. Well, I don't know, man. I'm telling you, man, it's like you need to have a couple of mini yous around. You know, they need to clone you.
They took my DNA samples 2 months ago. The clones are being baked in the oven right now.
Funny, man. Cool, man. Well, I hope you have a good rest of your, what is it, today, Saturday? We got a lot of rain out here in California, so hopefully we don't wash away.
Yeah, we woke up to snow today, actually. So we're on the opposite end of that spectrum.
Cool, man. All right, dude. Well, you have a good one.
All right, thanks everybody. Yeah, shroomed out. Stay shroomed. Have a great weekend, everyone. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.